The 2017 AFL season is proudly brought to you by Toyota. Toyota Footy. Oh, what a feeling.
Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio. And your front row.
For Fiat Professional, every worker needs a good wing van. Whether the spacious Fiat Doblo or the powerful Fiat Ducato, Fiat Professional is your right-hand van. Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Rub for McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Oh, Cardinia Park, the venue. We're looking forward to the Cats and the Tigers. And we've got Johnny Patton, we've got Boomer Harvey, we've got Damien Hardwick to join us, but... Let me just say this right off the top, Purple. I've been doing this thing for about 20 years. I've never known a box like this one. No one's looking at anyone else. Everyone's focused on about a centimetre in front of their face. It's a silence as we get ready for a couple of hours of rub prior to the game.
I'm physically...
You look like, to me, that you've seen a ghost, Purple. You've gone a little bit white.
I'm physically fearful, Jim, which often is the case, given I have not got a lot of bulk about me, but I fear what could happen in the next 20 minutes.
Duck's
because someone's very angry.
To the back of the box. Mate, he's just moved himself away from us.
I haven't done it for that reason. Hey, I come here every sad day and I have fun. And that is going to continue today, I guarantee you.
Bristle, our main man, have a look at the body language on the Bristle. Slunk into the corner.
Has not spoken.
Let me know when you want me to
What's
talk.
Going on, Bristle?
I don't know. I'm just about out of gutful.
I think he's had enough of all of us, Jim.
What's going on, Brian?
Oh, boy.
Well, I don't know what's going on.
We need to have a cleansing with you.
He's BT's like that one of those teams that is four games out of the eight. There's no chance he's playing finals footy. And he's not allowed to go on the footy trip because he needs an operation. He's as flat as a tack.
I got a smile. I got a smile, Duck.
He's as flat as
You've
a tack.
You've broken his face up. Look.
So, nice to see you, Duck, doing your best work in round 21.
Well, you know why? Because I've got a footy trip coming up and I'm about to play finals, BT.
Oh, I absolutely love it.
It was frosty on Wednesday night too, Jim, wasn't it, at the Triple M 21st?
Well, I hadn't picked up on the frost in the room, but there must have been.
He didn't even talk to me, the big
Is there something wrong with Damo Bristle?
Yeah, I don't like him. I have a distinct dislike him.
Someone told me that it almost got to the point where you considered clubbing him.
Yeah.
He sort of did. He brushed past me. Luke Beveridge style.
Still every possibility that could happen. In fact, if you go on the more likely or not scale, it'd be the more likely at this stage, Damo. So.
Well, we've got to get to it, Jim.
And Duck, this is where we're tracing it all back to. This is the last weekend, of course, and the media world got taken by storm, didn't it?
Well, it did. And if you want, I'll build the story because that's the part of the story that I know well because it started...
You're not a great story.
It started last... well, let's see how I go then, eh? It started last Friday night when we got down here, actually, to the Cattery. And, you know, a big game, obviously.
That's it.
Sydney v. the Cats. It was massive. And walked in and there was no Brian Taylor. And it was like, wow, you know, what's going on here? Because Iron Guts Taylor.
You had branded yourself Iron Guts the week before.
Who all year says, well, you know, Duck, you've had a week off because you had a sniffle or a sore throat. Damo. By the way, this isn't just confined to Triple M. We're talking about all SEN, Trow W. We're talking about everyone. Yes. Everyone has had their say on this and everyone wants to have their say on this because this man, Brian Iron Guts Taylor, has had a crack at just about everyone in the industry.
He's warming to it,
that has ever, ever, ever had a sick day.
So, yes. Doug, go back to two Fridays ago. You walked in there
two
and the producer of the Channel 7 broadcast took a phone call from someone.
Yes, took a phone call from someone and I've found out who wasn't Iron Guts Taylor. So not only Brian Guts Taylor couldn't get to work, but couldn't even pick up the phone.
That's not
and
true.
Dial the numbers. Hey, and now, I've heard this.
I'm going to call you out on each of the untruths. Okay. And that's the first one.
I have heard this. This came from the horse's mouth. Oh. I'm not to call Tanya a horse because she's a beautiful Tanya. But I've spoken to Tanya personally. Oh. face to face.
Bristle.
And she gave me the guarantee.
Confirmation.
That
Bristle.
She made the phone call from Iron Guts Taylor.
Is that true, Brian?
That's untrue. My wife doesn't need to speak for me. I can speak for me. And I was able to speak on that night. Shortly.
So Iron Guts Taylor got Tanya to call Channel 7. And then,
you're making light of a very serious illness.
So everyone else's illness is over the last 5 years or 22 years since you've been in this industry.
Well, I don't know whether you've been reading the papers, but this is a super bug. Duck, this is no average flu. This is a super bug.
So, Duck, he misses Friday night. We go through the next day. Okay, Saturday, so Triple M 40. We roll up at midday.
Then we get here Saturday. And by the way, the fact I didn't make a... Just to backtrack a little bit, I didn't go down to Tassie last week. And it was planned. I wasn't sick. I was just didn't go.
Couldn't be bothered.
Just had the day off. And Brian talked about... who's our sponsor?
Temper Mattress.
And spoke about my mattress. Well... I sort of mentioned last week when Brian didn't turn up, whose mattress would you rather be? my mattress or Brian's just lying in his sweat last week on his temper mattress.
With the super bug.
With the super bug, Iron Guts Brian Taylor on his Tempest mattress, sweating the super bug out.
There's just a... The moustache's just starting to twist up on Bristol. He's warming to this.
Last Saturday, so you're right. So he doesn't get into the rub or the game last week. Yes. So Nathan Brown obviously filled in and did a fantastic job.
Yep.
Then from there, I don't know. Then what happened then?
So you're washing hands of this story from now, are you, Duck?
So Duck just going with the
easy
stuff.
Because this is where it gets...
from there, I don't know.
This is where it's going to get really nasty for me, Duck. And you need to keep telling the story.
I'll tell you why I'm going to say I don't know. Because what I've received from this point on is secondhand information.
Crikey.
So I want it from the horse's mouth now, Damo. Right. So I got secondhand information that
as I do
Brian
too,
was seen somewhere on Saturday night, and I'll let you take it from here. That?
Well, given he was on his deathbed in the temper mattress, Duck, on the Friday night and the Saturday, it would have been unlikely, I would have thought, Jim, to then appear somewhere at 5:30-ish on that Saturday, but we have confirmation.
I was coming out of my coma and felt that I needed some outside fresh air, and a 5-minute swindle in the masses wouldn't... hurt me. And I thought, well, and even then I sweated up.
Outside fresh air under the roof of Eddie Head Stadium.
With people in front of him talking into a microphone.
So I was fulfilling a long-term commitment, and knowing that it was only 5 minutes of duration was very distinct from doing a 5-hour broadcast.
Brian, Triple M was still on air doing the Saturday afternoon coverage when you were first spotted at the other AFL venue in Melbourne.
That's not true.
Talking to people.
That's not true.
Jim?
Now, Bristol, this is the bit that interested me. When I heard this, I said there's no possibility that could have happened. I flew a hard flag for you, Bristol.
Real hard.
A hard flag for my man,
you
Bristol.
You made 33 phone calls to us.
But then suddenly the evidence started coming in. I thought to myself, Brian, this is what I need to ask you. I thought to myself, if you did the same thing, but at a... Italian restaurant in Lygon Street or in the city, you'd be a bit unlucky, to be fair. But when you went to the ground...
Well, not only that, JB, when I got to the ground, and I'm counting down, I'm looking for box 44, and I'm going 49, 48, 47, and we're getting closer and closer and closer to the Triple M work area. So much so that the very last box, box 44, happened to be right next door with a glass window looking into the super box.
That's it. So what I understand... So
I was aware of that.
So what's amazing is Iron Guts Taylor, who has been in bed for 2 days on his temper mattress...
And partly coming out of the coma.
Lying in his own filth. Yes. Right, just really, really crook, has been able to fight this super bug off.
Mm-hmm. For the good of football.
For the good
of football.
It came with me.
But he fought it off enough to get some outside fresh air at Etihad Stadium. stadium with the roof on.
Duck, the thing with me is I say to myself, all right, so this is clearly being doctored to try and frame our main man.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I said. This is a frame job being done on our main man. And then I forensically trace back where it came from. And it came from our Friday night operator, the man who sleeps with his head in his vice, the Duke, who reckons he wandered down the front of the Channel 7 commentary box, turned left, and a good 15 metres away, he saw the unrecognisable frame of the Bristol well, working a room. And he just felt compelled to take a photo.
To which then Brian slunk off into the background.
Well, I didn't think I needed to be here. You know,
what's even more astounding? This story just keeps going and going, because what's even more astounding, the fact that he then knew he was discovered.
Yes.
And this was all going to blow up. He thought, oh, bugger this Iron Guts Taylor. He's just got to beat this super bug. Yep. I've got to turn up Sunday. Because if I don't turn up Sunday, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, this is going to blow up like you wouldn't believe. So Iron Guts Taylor pulls himself from the Saturday night, gets up Sunday and gets to the MCG for what is another big game.
Gave plenty.
For Channel 7. And got up. But then, on Monday, Iron Guts Taylor, the super bug, starts to overcome him again.
Barely conscious.
It starts to overcome him again on Monday.
Having hallucinations.
But he gets to the production meeting of talking footy, and you think this is a bad mood.
Yep.
Sat in there with a, you know, when you've, well, we've all got young kids, and you know, I've got a 2.5-year-old now. You know the fake cough.
Yes.
In the production meeting, and everyone's sort of all
you
worried.
Mean the one that you use.
everyone is all worried about Brian. And you know what it was? It was Iron Guts Taylor. All of a sudden, the superhero Iron Guts came back out. He said, I can fight this bug, and I am going to fight it. I can do talking footy tonight. And then did it. Well, I'll admit this. On Monday night, yes, when I saw him, and all, you know, we've had a bit of fun.
I look dead.
But on Monday night, how he got through that show is absolute beyond me.
Bristol, what I want to ask you, it actually warmed to the telling of that story pretty well, Bristol, yeah. I'll be honest. What I want to know, BT, is this is what gave me the most humour Saturday night, was firstly the photo just leaked out, and then it was the people that jumped on the horse. I'm talking about Big Cho from 3AW. I'm talking blokes came from everywhere. Yeah. It wasn't just restrained to the Triple M family. It grew the people that were fascinated.
You might have helped facilitate that happened, Jim.
Well, when you've had a crack over 22 years at any man that's even had a sniffle, because you're Iron Guts Brian Taylor, then they're always going to count. They're always going to line up.
I would have thought at some stage someone would have recognised the genuine bravery there under super bug conditions and worsening, almost blowing out of super bug bubble.
I love it.
And
Bristol, I absolutely love it.
If someone had recognised that, you know, I might have been. Anyway, I don't know what happened, but I had to test the voice.
On Saturday night.
I thought I'd wander into Etihad.
Bristol, was that as sort of a stressful a setup as that night out the front of Crown? Couldn't find the urinal and just...
Oh!
Was that...
Well, it was a long time waiting for a cab, Jay.
Oh, no. But more about the fact that when we got there the next day to the grand final, we assured you we wouldn't mention it because it wasn't really meant to be mentioned, and then it took Sam Newman about a second and a half into the broadcast just to talk about the fact that CCTV Vision had picked up Bristol.
Very good. Well, good to have. Hey, by the way, Brian, now that that's over, turn that frown upside down.
Well, Duck, you're going so well today, you can double up.
And let's have a happy day.
Well done, Duck.
Very nicely done. Now we can all get back to loving you. It's been an interesting week.
Yeah.
Been an interesting week. The small newspaper in this town, Damo.
You're in the news again, Jim.
What is their obsession with us? Is it that they all want to work for us and can't get a job?
They're on a beat. It's a beat writer's gig now, Jim, the footy just, show and
it
Triple M.
It is an obsession.
I know
we're massive presences and the big game in this town, but it's now getting to the point where it's ridiculous.
You're in two articles this morning.
I must admit, JB, and I don't want to sound, contrite or sort of as if I care, because when I saw that article this morning, I go to that page and I just scan. If I don't see my name, I just have a smile.
What was the article for those that haven't seen it? Because I haven't seen it.
It's just a report, a hatchet reporting, Bristle, of the function during the week that we had to celebrate, a private function, by the way, with clients and things like that. And that's what interests me, the 21st birthday of Triple M Footy, which is a terrific celebration of what's been an amazing success story since going to air. What amazes me, Purple, and I always lean on you in this space because you are the one who's had many, many years working in the newspaper arena. Surely someone, however many levels higher, wanders down into whoever's desk is responsible for this and says, honestly, is this where we've got to? We go to a private function where people are talking in camera, on stage. It's not meant for publication. It's just for the entertainment of the people in the room, and we're gonna quote from that stuff that will paint people in a poor light. Is that, surely someone goes, honestly, is this where we've got to?
Well, clearly it is, Jim, because the paper, runs that column each week, and it does another double page spread on the columns throughout the course of the week too. So that's just the world we live in, Jim.
But it used to be that things that were said in-house stayed that way, and if you were quoted on, someone said, well, can I get you on the record as talking about something? You did. But if you said something private function, on a stage, answering questions from the floor, which is all it was, that would not appear in a newspaper article.
Historically, yes, but it's 2017 now.
And, so that's where the industry's got to.
I'd imagine you wouldn't have said, probably wouldn't even spoken, would you, had you known it was going to be broadcast?
No, well, none of us would have, because that's the environment we're in.
I opened the night, and I had no one told me that it was open night for media. I swore at everything, but no one come and told me. I'm disappointed in hearing out that it's been reported.
It is what it is, Damo. The only sadness I have is that our great mate Gary Lyon, who I hold, as in the highest regard possible, was mentioned in a couple of the stories from questions on the floor.
But having listened to it, just before you say what you're about to say, in the context of how you raised it, Jim, there's no issue.
No, it's with huge love that we ever talk about Gaz's time with us.
That's how you cast it.
He was absolutely brilliant and a fantastic analyst and a wonderful friend of ours. And his 10 or 12 years at Triple M were superb, and we have nothing but the highest regard for him. So if there's any context taken out of what's written, because there was no context given, that we have in any way got an issue with anything that gentleman did in his time with us, that is totally and utterly fabricated.
And anyone in that room that night would have got the context and the nuance around the referencing to Gary Lyon.
Adam McDougall is the health hacker.
Health hacking is simply hacking into the tools, tricks, and routines of the healthiest, happiest, and most successful people in the world and applying these little tricks and routines into your own life. I'm a health hacker because I've been a professional athlete for 20 years, but I've also combined my experience as an athlete with my university studies, from economics to nutrition and sports science, with the practical application that I achieved as an athlete to help people hack into their health. In each episode, I'm going to share with you the tools, tricks, and routines of the healthiest, happiest, and most successful people in the world. You can hack into your own health and live a happier and healthier life.
The Health Hacker with Adam McDougall. Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
The big man, Jono Patton, the general, the opening goal of the game, leans back. Oh. Oh, it's a beautiful kick. He loved it off the boot. Well done, Cornelio. Stole it out of his hands. Launches a shot at goal, and Cornelio, brilliant play, kicks it.
Tony flies to behind, takes a genuine hanger.
And again, a chance. He's got it.
Oh,
he
awkward.
Has got it.
Patton from a tight angle. It's a good-looking kick.
Goal. Wonderful finish.
Towards the goal square. Patton again. For the 10, nearly got it to board. Socking it out of midair. Yeah, I think he's kicked it. He has. Wow.
That was a big night for the GWS Giants. We're going to be joined by the big General Patton in just a second. I was amazed, Duck, watching on television. You guys had the benefit of being there live at the speed that the Western Bulldogs allowed GWS to move the footy. For me, the only way, especially under the roof at Etihad, that you were going to stop the extraordinary skill that GWS have is to stop their ball movement and make them go back and kick over the mark and, if not, go sideways and really... But it looked like, especially in the first half, the Dogs were happy to make it a speed race, of which, as good as the Dogs' engine is, it ain't the bloody Formula One V12 that the GWS Giants got under the bonnet. And I just could never see them winning if they allowed the game for four quarters to be played at that speed.
Well, they won the premiership last year off just manic, dogged-type pressure. Yep. And going into the game, JB, you're exactly right. Going into the game, you said that if the Bulldogs tried to play the same way that they beat Essendon, and that is that fast game, then they get beaten. They had to bring that manic pressure that won them a premiership last year. They just had to hold them up. They had to fight.
Exactly.
They had to scrap for every ball. They just had to be harder than GWS. And what they did is they tried to take them on at their own game. And look, they had a really good period in the second quarter where they just couldn't kick goals. So they dominated inside 50s. And that stat can be, you know, that can be misconstrued. But they did dominate the second quarter without hitting the scoreboard. And then you're right, after half time, GWS, their run and carry and those quick hands and that overlap run, I think Jared Healy might have called it the orange tsunami. But when they get that overlap run going from half back, then they're very hard to beat. And then they get the ball in long, and when Lobb and Patton and these guys are marking the footy, they are unstoppable. Their last 2 weeks have shown the rest of the competition that you know, they get it right, and on the flip side, if they bring their really good pressure, which they were able to do last week, and I thought they backed it up last night, then this team I think deserve to be premiership favourites right now. I know everyone's on the Adelaide bandwagon, but I reckon GWS are just starting to build, and
in their chains of play, it's like Class gives it to Class to Class to Class, to Class, whereas any other team, and the Bulldogs last night, it's Class gives it to OK player, gives it to
Bonampelli, gets
it's OK player.
Wow.
Class, It's just every time they give it, the person on the end of it is a bloody good player.
They don't fumble. It's very clean. I just am interested, Bristle, Johnny Patton, in just a moment. I'm interested in seeing how this translates into September, because September footy, we know, we've all watched it for the last 20 years, very rarely is like that, is it? You're very rarely slingshotting end-to-end to the ground
in a big final. Carry over,
Yeah, so what are they going to do to adapt to Adelaide at the MCG, for instance? That is the fascination for me, because watching it last night, it was just a speed of ball movement race, and they were always going to win it.
The interesting thing for me there is, and as you head in towards finals, is I think they may have struck a good year, JB, where the teams that they're going to be competing against at the serious end aren't that physical. Adelaide, for instance, not a really incredibly physical side.
They've improved that the last month or so.
Are going to change.
Yep. Sydney
and
maybe
Swans
would be too.
Maybe Sydney, maybe Sydney, the only ones with that sort of look about them. Other than that, I just can't see them challenged.
Love this man's work. 4 goals, 1. He kicked 8 big clunkers and played duck as a big power forward should in a big game. That's Johnny Patton we're talking about, and he joins us now. The big general, welcome to you.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me.
You would have been happy with that. Not only the way the ball came down to you, but when it got in your area, the way you were able to get your hands on it early and really impact the game.
Yeah, obviously, being a forward, you do rely heavily on your ball movement up the ground. And like you guys just said, our ball movement last night was pretty good. And I guess we were just lucky as forwards that we had that movement. And, I guess we took care of what we had to.
Hey, Jonathan, was there something going on between you and Dylan Chiel? Because you kicked the first 3 goals in the first 15 minutes of the game, 20 minutes of the game. All 3 kicks came from Dylan Chiel.
Yeah, I think my last goal as well that I got from a free kick was from Dill as well. So he actually said to me last night after the game, a few months ago, I had a question on air about who I'd rather have kicking me the ball, Dill Chiel or Josh Kelly. And I actually said Josh Kelly. So I might have to change that now to Dill, because he definitely looked after me last night.
Take us into your mindset at the moment. You've obviously, you know, your last few years, you've had knee injuries, everything else. You're finally getting some continuity in your body, and you just look unstoppable when you're on. And you're on last night. How confident are you at the minute?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident. I mean, I sort of had a slowish start to the year, but now I've strung together a few good games, and now I'm at that level now where I've had pretty much 2 injury-free years. So, just to have that under my belt just makes myself a lot more confident, especially when, when you do take some marks and you do play the way you know you can, it helps a lot.
John, the extraordinary talent facet of Toby Green was on display last night, but so too was the controversial one, and that will play out as the days unfold. But can I get your take on his handball receive where he had the studs up on Dalhouse?
I think that's just by nature. That's what you do when you go for a mark. You sort of put your leg up, and you know, Toby's done that in the past when he's taken great marks and stuck his leg up. But obviously, it was to Dalhouse, who's not the tallest bloke on the field. So, I mean, if that's to Jordan Ruffhead, it probably gets him in his sternum. So, I think that'll probably be thrown out in the next few days, hopefully.
Yeah, and the fact that he was reported, John, do you feel that has changed the commentary around it, the way the processes work within the AFL?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, for some reason the media and all that like to pick on Toby, and that's what they've been doing this year. So I feel like this is any excuse they like to drill him, and that's all right. Toby's got a great character, so he doesn't care about that sort of stuff. But, yeah, I mean, obviously it didn't hurt his game. He was pretty good last night.
John, Wayne Carey wants to ask you a question in a moment about this matter, but just before he does, it's not common practice, though, for a handball receive to be taken that way. Is that part of what we need to get through with the match review panel now? Because it doesn't happen regularly, though, does it? A footballer's boot going into the face of someone else.
Well, yeah, I mean, it doesn't happen regularly, but I think, you know, if you're Toby in that instance, what, you're just going to stand there and take it over your head, and then you get drilled in the ribs, and, you know, so you know, on Toby's defence, he has to... Yeah. He jumps for the ball and he's got to protect himself. You know, he's not going to just put his arms up and exactly. He's not going to just stand there and then get drilled and potentially holding the ball. So right. I think you've got to look at that as well.
Eyes on the footy. I've probably done it 30 times in my career. Bonampelli took a mark in the last quarter where he ran back with the flight. Put his foot up in exact same motion. The only difference is someone wasn't running in to make contact with him. If it was anyone else, this is what happened.
Is there a difference stuck between a mark and a handball
No difference.
Right.
No difference at all.
I thought there was, but
no,
you're telling me there's not.
No, there's not. There's not. And I've actually done the same thing off a handball before, exact same thing. But this is what happens. The umpires hear the booing of Toby Green. They know that he's got a track record. And by the way, his track record isn't exactly dirty. They're minor indiscretions that have, you know, cost him a week here or a week there. They're not, you know, dirty king hits or really bad things where you get 5 or 6 weeks. This really is a bit of a witch hunt right now. And if this was anyone else, if this was Bontempelli, we wouldn't even be talking about it.
I'm not sure about that, but we'll talk about this outside of John's time.
General, when Big Jez Cameron comes back in, now that you're in this sort of nick, are you saying to him, listen, there's... You shouldn't ever vacate the seat because the big man's comfortable now.
No, mate. We're all pretty good like that. I think the beauty with our forward line is we don't really care who kicks the goals and takes the marks as long as someone's doing it. And we all play a part. And the thing is, especially having three talls and obviously Toby down there and now Brett DeLidio and Stevie, it's, you know, anyone can pop up and kick a bag. So. You know, that was me last night. I'm sure next week it could be Lobby, it could be Toby or Stevie or someone else. So, no, I can't wait to have Jezza back. I think that means I might take the second or third back then. So that's always good. But no, we definitely miss Jez. He's so good to have out there. And I think everyone's sort of forgetting how good of a player he is, that he's been out for a couple of weeks. So, no, we can't wait to have him back.
Yeah, I agree with all of that, Jonathan. But I must say that the makeup of that forward line, you can't all be in that forward 50 at one time. You've got to have those fleet-footed guys to put that pressure on. And I thought that's what worked last night. You were the tall target. Obviously, Lobb was down there as well. But you weren't always down there together, although a couple of those big marks, he put a bit of body work on for you. But it's just important that you get that balance right, not all in the same area at the same time.
Yeah, that's it, Duck. I mean, you know, there's been a bit of commentary about, you know, not if we should play three talls or not. I don't think it really matters as long as, like you said, we're separating and Jezza does so much running during the game and gets up the ground so much. And so as long as we're not chopping out for each other and we're not chewing each other's space up, and then at the same time, I mean, we do have to put on the pressure as much as, you know, that it's expected to leave it up to the smaller guys, but... it's a pressure game these days and we need to do our best to make sure we're on top of that as well.
Now, Big Johnny, as we let you go, you know I like to do some reconnaissance work for all of the teams, how they operate after hours. I know the Coogee Pavilion is a real focus for the GWS boys. And I was asking a couple of the lads, tell me who do the boys gravitate to, who's the main man when you get in there. Every single one of them said there's only one. It's the big general. He gets the singlet on. He exposes the pipes with a nice brown skin. And action comes from everywhere.
I'm guessing you heard that from Bill. Is that correct?
Little Dev Smith might have given me some info as well.
It's a great spot, Coogee. Had a good night there with Billy in the off-season before Stevie J's wedding. So, it's a different lifestyle living up there, mate, and getting out and about around the water. So, it's a good lifestyle, and I do like to have a bit of fun here and there, but this time of year, it's pretty much just all the business.
Hey, get doing the business too. You did it last night. It was fantastic to watch. Huge month coming up for your footy club. Good luck with it.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Johnny Patton's a beauty. Just starting to emerge.
Absolutely. If you're a young player, I reckon in a premiership favourite team, BT, being up in Sydney just floating around there wouldn't be a bad gig.
Off the radar a bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Duck used to do that with a premiership team in Melbourne.
Yes.
Yeah. He used to go up every
Saturday
weekend.
Morning just after a Friday night game.
Damo, time to get some news discussed. And why don't we start with Toby Green from last night? Because there is lots of talk about it and lots of different opinion around it. Where do we go with it from here?
There's also a separate news story to the one involving the boot into Dalhouse's head, Jim, which Neil Cordy has just tweeted about. He of the Daily Telegraph journalism fame and also ex-Swans player. But the GWS team has notified the AFL of a post-game incident where a Bulldogs fan poured beer over Toby Green. And he goes on to say that the Giants have asked the host broadcasters, Channel 7, to try to ascertain vision of that particular incident. We'll try and get some more information out of that as the afternoon unfolds.
All right, so the Leon Cameron press conference, I think, Yui, has a reference to the Toby Green incident. Let's have a listen to him first.
Look, I understand there's going to be a lot of hysteria about Toby, you know. Clearly he has got his eyes on the ball, and what he's done is he's protected himself, and I'm never, ever, ever going to take it away from a player that keeps his eyes on the footy, and he's got his eyes firmly placed on the footy, and these little unfortunate things happen in footy. So, obviously the powers to be will look at it because it is what it is. But they need to judge Toby Green on his merits.
Well, two things about Toby Green. Firstly, he's a star.
Oh.
So, how good a player has he turned into? He's just a phenomenon.
Most important player.
And sense of occasion, too.
Yeah, just amazing ability. But will he have an issue during the week or not?
No, I feel he will, Jim. Let's have a conversation without making it. Let's have the conversation. He's been reported, so he has to have an issue. To answer the question, yes, he's got an issue. And whatever you want to say, Duck, the boot was
so when
in
it
the
gets
face
thrown out,
of an
so
opponent.
When it gets thrown out, you'll say I was wrong.
No, I'm not, because the question was, is there an issue? There is an issue. He's been reported, and the player left the ground under the blood rule. All I'll say to that, Duck, and I'm keen to get your views, as you did express with Jonathan Patton before, it's not a common occurrence.
It's more common than you think.
Tell me why, it's a question, Duck, without vindictiveness in it. Okay. Tell me why, as a layman, why it's different, though. And again, with a handball received.
Jono Patton summed it up. It's different because on this occasion, it was an unfortunate incident because it's hit Dalhouse, who is 4'1", in the mouth, and there was a little bit of blood. That's why it's different. Those boots, players put up their boot like that to protect themselves all the time. It might hit them in the chest, in the shoulder, in the stomach, in the groin. We saw one in the groin last night. But this one has hit Dalhouse in the head. Toby Green's gone up, eyes on the footy, as Leon Cameron said. Protect himself. Dalhouse has run into his boot. Then it's, you know what, it's an unfortunate incident. And that's all it is.
So you're saying it's an accident.
Now, accident. Now, the umpire, the report has just come from, like I said, the booing of Toby Green, the fact that it's Toby Green. I reckon the umpire's got overawed by the situation and said, oh, look, I better make a report. It'll get thrown out. This will go no further.
I must admit, my initial thoughts were you're allowed to protect your space, as Brian said, and you're allowed to win the footy, which is what he did in the contest. As soon as I saw the claret flowing, though, because we know how reactive the AFL are to any form of injury from the shoulders up these days, I thought, well, that will be the only thing that has a bearing on what issue he has during the week. But I go back, Duck, with, you know, the issue that Jack Ziebel had all those years ago when he won that ball in the contest against Carlton and got 4 weeks which I still believe is one of the most despicable pieces of
adjudicating. And that wasn't a boot to the head either.
That was within play. Two hands on the ball and one the footy, and the other guy ended up getting knocked out, apparently, even though he played the next 17 minutes.
That's the difference.
You've got to be able to, in my view in this game, BT, you've got to be able to win the ball in the contest. You have to have the ability to do that. Otherwise, we will completely stuff the game.
Yeah, that's fair. And I reckon there's not enough of that. And I reckon that the AFL react to... and they've written the rules in a way that they can nail him on this if they want. The rules are written that way, right? But the common sense says no, they shouldn't. And I agree with Duck's situation here. You know, just shouldn't. But they can nail it. They can nail him if they want, just on the way the rules are written.
All right, we need to move on from this one. Let's get through a few. Gold Coast and their coaching situation, Damo.
Yeah, yet to start the process. Mark Evans will form a subcommittee. He's in no major rush to do it, but he will do the what most clubs do, Jim, and get a subcommittee.
Yep.
We had the situation like during the week where Brendan Bolton spoke as coach of Carlton. He works with John Barker, and he's obviously one of the candidates out there. And I keep raising the fact that Mark Evans had John Barker's name, BT, on a list of recommendations for Greg Swan at the Brisbane Lions last year when they sacked Justin Lepich, when they had to replace him. Mark Evans then, Jim, was obviously at the AFL. So he endorses John Barker. And Brendan Bolton now, who works with John Barker at Carlton, was also glowing yesterday.
Well, he's done all the level four in the last few years. He's been in the system a long time, been a terrific support for me and highly respected in and around our group. So if there's alignment there, we wouldn't stand in his way of him exploring it.
It's interesting that he goes straight to that level four because that's what Mark Evans set up at the AFL. So he set this up.
But having said that, I listened to Mark Evans' comments the other night when he did an interview on the level four, and they asked him that very question.
Yep.
And he said, interestingly enough, because as you say, he set it up, he said, no, I think there's a big gap between those that complete level four and senior coaching. He said, level four is just one form of getting them ready. He said, but I don't think necessarily everyone after completing level four is automatically able to coach at senior level. Some still don't have it. Some still don't get it. Some still aren't cut out to do it. And I thought that was really interesting, and it made me think that he was going to look most definitely outside level four as well.
I think he has to. I think, you know, Lingy said this last night. They've got to throw the net very, very wide. They've got to look at absolutely everyone. And you're right. I heard that same interview, and it was more about level four is more about filling what you're not good at. So if you weren't good at a particular area of coaching, you obviously fulfilled that area.
Very well regarded, Johnny Barker, obviously. And been under Clarko, so there's another. I mean, he might end up having the whole coaching ranks of the AFL be former assistants under him. But his apprenticeship is very, very, very well read.
It is now, yeah. And gone through a couple of processes, went really close at the Brendan Bolton stage. Brendan Bolton was a clear number one, but he was a clear number two, and also two in the Brisbane Lions situation. And just that throwing the net wide, as you said, Duck and BT. Mark Evans, just take it as absolute fact, just take this to the bank, that he will make the phone call to Alistair Clarkson. Now, we think we know how that's going to be received, but the phone call will be made.
Speaking of Mark Evans, spoke on the Rush Hour on the day that Rodney Eed and the Gold Coast Suns parted way. We moved on from that bristle to Gary Ablett and whether Gaz was going to come back here next year or stay at the Gold Coast Suns. Mm. Bill had special interest in it, and this was Dougie's response.
He's a Gold Coast Sun player and contracted, and I can't wait to see him run out for us next year.
You sure about that, Marco? All done and dusted?
Well, two parties have rights and obligations in the contract, and I know when Gary spoke last November, he wasn't necessarily keyed into whether he would play in 2018. I reckon that's the first question. The answer is yes, and I'd be delighted when he tells me it's for the Gold Coast Suns.
Oh, that blue and white hoops. He does look good in it. It'd be a nice way to finish.
Get your filthy hands off.
Get your filthy hands off. I like it.
Well, he's no chance. He's no chance to play for Gold Coast next year.
How can they do the deal, though, Bristol? That's the fascination
for me. I'm not saying
the
deal will get done, but I just don't think he'll play if he's got to play for Gold Coast.
It's possible he'll sit out of footy, BT, and that is a possibility. Jim, what we've learnt in the last couple of days is that the $3 million or thereabouts deal, which was a three-year extension of his contract, he's taken a lot of that money up front. It's by way of design with the footy club, but what the reason I raise that is right now, going into 2018, is only about $500 or $600. I say only about, but it's not $1 million that needs to be given to him next year under this current deal. It's only $500 or $600, which gets it into the ball zone, ball game, where Geelong could foot up some or all of that.
Does anyone care whether he gets to Geelong or not?
Oh yeah, I think we do, don't we?
I don't.
Are you for real?
Why are we all worried about Gary Ablett leaves Geelong, wins a premiership, leaves for a stack of money, goes and captains a side,
and now we
all want to give him the fairy tale and bring him back to where it all started.
Oh, you mean trying to get him there?
Oh, yeah. Why?
I hear what you're saying.
But there's interest in whether he does.
Yes,
it.
I didn't say. Yes,
yeah,
I know.
I misread what you said.
Yeah, care factor zero.
I get where you're at. There's fascination with Gaz always, anyway, but also, Bristol, that he could potentially do a couple of years of lethal Lee Matthews and just slide into a forward pocket and do some real damage in an already good team.
I'm not as pumped up and in love with Gaz as what a lot of you guys are, but you know, I just think the guy signed up there, and I just think he's doing the dirty on Gold Coast. I think why should we provide him a pathway to Geelong when he signed a contract?
He
absolutely rorted the system for the maximum amount of money that he could possibly get. He got every cracker, left nothing for anyone else, and now we want to find him a pathway out because it's a nice story for footy.
Yeah, and he's
stuff you, mate.
And he's been a great player. He's been a fantastic player, a champion player. But let's be honest, hasn't exactly been a great leader for that footy club.
No, hasn't gone
up there and delivered what they needed him to deliver. Yes, he's played great footy, but he certainly hasn't led or created something that they needed him to create up there. So now all of a sudden, right when they need him most, they get a new coach. Well, they right now, more than ever, more than when they first took him up there to be captain of this start-up club, they need him now more than ever to stay there.
Strong. I like it, Purple.
He's not committed either, Jim, as we now know.
No, exactly right. Got some nice social media feedback on how we've been rolling.
From the Triple M Footy family, Mark Hoare, don't sugarcoat it. Dark Toby Green knew what he was doing, but then you get the other side of it from Jam. Same as a high fend-off free kick, not a report. Tyson Gibbs says it's a three-week ban in his eyes. It has generated a lot of feedback, Jim. There's screens and screens of it, and I just on the quick glance I've had, it looks like it's split 50-50 there. So
Triple M survey, it's got at 70-30, no suspension.
Okay, yeah. Jared Reynolds has your view too, Duck, on the Ablett getting to Geelong. He just does not care. And Higo, our man Higo, fair strafing of Ablett there. I'm with Bristol, stuff him.
Oh, jeez.
Big gig.
Stevie Johnson, what does the future hold for the superstar?
And can I add to that, is he in their best 22 now or for the rest of the year?
Gary Ablett?
No.
Stevie, sorry. I'm glad we clicked that. I'll get Duck to answer that part of it. Just the first part of the question Jim posed. He's going to be an assistant coach, Jim. He's got offers already in. The Sydney Swans have...
I was about to say, Crosstown is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, Sydney Swans have had good chats with him. Yep. And right now, I think that may be where he goes. GWS wants a right of reply, though, so they will also have that. I reckon Collingwood's going to have a call. And Richmond, as we know, 2 years ago, wanted him as an assistant coach. So there's not going to be a shortage of offers for him. But the Swans have made the front running on it. And Duck, is he in the Giants' best 22?
Not the way he played last night.
Really?
No, he did. He struggled last night. He looked slow. He looked tired. And at times he can. He did a couple of good things late in the game. But wasn't one of his better ones. I think he needs a rest. Lingy said as much last night. Lingy knows him better than anyone and is friends with him. But I think he probably needs to freshen up. Can he give them something big in a final? He's that X factor. What he does need is he needs Green to be in the team. He needs those smaller forwards to be up and about because they can't carry him if they're not. He can't be that, you know, he's the X factor. He's the cream on the top. He's not that grunt like he used to be. So,
BT, do you think they could possibly play a final, whatever final that is, inclusive of grand final, without him in that team if he's available?
You'd be a brave coach not to select him, I would have thought, in that situation. The thing about GWS, even though they've consolidated a top four position now, it's all about them finishing in the top two because if it is as it is currently... If they don't finish first or second, they could end up playing Geelong here. They could end up playing Adelaide in Adelaide in the first week of the finals. They need to avoid that situation at all costs.
Just to back over that, if he's fresh, then you don't know what you're going to... I just think he doesn't look quite... Right. He doesn't look fresh to me.
And your point... MCG too, I reckon. The tight confines, any of those tight grounds, he gets found out because he just can't get off. So this, a little bit more room.
So this is the question. Last night's game was a final. Are you selecting him for the next final next week?
I would, but I'm the least educated in this conversation.
No, I would, given who they've got coming back. They haven't got any smaller guys coming back.
I'd have him in full stop. That's just my view on Stevie J.
Because of the X factor, especially in September.
But to your scenario there, talking about GWS finishing second, it does open up a potential different situation too. The AFL, I found out during the week, is still open to the idea of ANZ Stadium, the Olympic Stadium, being used in the event of a GWS Sydney Swans final. Now, that's not going to happen in the first week, but it could happen in the second week. If they finish second, though, BT, they'll be playing Richmond, who you would think would not be able to get all its supporters into the stadium they use as their home game. It is a possibility.
Does that matter anymore?
Yeah, exactly. Has that got to be the concern for the AFL? Or do they say, you have finished second and earned a home final, you play at your ground, we fill it with 25,000 people, and bad luck?
No, that's what's happening here at Geelong.
Yes, true. But if they felt there was a way that in the second or even third weeks of finals that there could be a GWS as the head team playing the Swans, I reckon this 2v3 Richmond situation comes into play in that first week scenario. It's going to cost them about $200,000 to fix it up because the stands have been brought in for the rugby league season.
That is an abomination, that joint. They should never play a game of football there again in the history of it.
It's a shame because it does, and it used to rock when it was full, but it hasn't been that way for a very long time, and it has been run into
Jack Watts, where's his future?
Look, I still see that at Melbourne. He hasn't been good. He had a hamstring injury. I know you know him, Jim, well. He hasn't played well since he came back, has he? Really bad game last week. Admire Simon Goodwin making the tough call at this stage of this season, given that if they win their three games they've got remaining, and they are winnable, all of them, that they'll be playing finals. I like the fact he's done it, Duck, but I'm not reading anything into it. Hey, Jack's got to get out of the club because of the decision.
No, he's in their best 18, no doubt about that. And he, you know what? It's a bit of a wake-up call to say...
But he had one already this year, didn't he? At the start of the year, he had the same wake-up call.
He did, but he's coming back from the injury. And I like the fact that Goody hasn't just said, you know what, Jack, you've been a really good player, especially the last few years. We can just, you know, we can carry for another. No, go back, get some form, come back in and be a good player for us. We might be playing finals footy.
Angus Brayshaw, Jim, your nephew back today, which is a good story because there was some doubt as recently as probably a month ago that the season may have been a write-off for him with all the concussions.
Yeah, that was never the internal view, I didn't think. That was a bit of external noise. But he had to go back three times and get some real continuity into, you know, his footy with a helmet on. His first game was off half-back and I didn't see any of them, but my understanding was it was a very neat and efficient game of footy without being what he's capable of.
What do you think is his frame of mind, though, JB? You know, knowing where it's at and what can happen and future and all that. What do you think is going through his mind?
Well, I reckon that first week there were real question marks, Bristol. Not around do I go or not, but how do I go was what I heard. You know, it was a real, I'm starting to question my own attack on the footy and how to technically do it. But all the mail I got from the weekend, he had 36 or whatever he had and just dominated the game, as you should as a number three overall draft pick. And the mail I heard was that it was all of that was put to bed. He just had a day out and absolutely got back to doing what he does best. And all I would say to him, and who gives a stuff what I think, but all I would say to him, Bristol, is that's the sort of footy he's got to play at AFL level.
Yep.
Just dominate the way your natural ability should allow you to do. I just reckon he gets tied up structurally a bit too much for me, Duck. I reckon just see the ball and go and get it. Yep. That's how good he is.
Well, that's what he does.
Yep. So do that tomorrow against the Saints and let your natural talent sort of flow. But I understand that from a head knock point of view, Damo, they are 100% happy with how it sits. So that's a great thing. We're going to wear the helmet. And my view of that is Jonathan Thurston could be, outside of Joey Johns, the greatest rugby league player we've ever produced. Mm. Wore it for the last 8 years of his career and no one batted an eyelid. Mm. So who cares? If you feel better with it on, wear the bloody thing.
Yep.
We need to get quickly to Boomer. Anything else before we let you go?
Just the Levi Casbolt situation. It's played out quite publicly now for the past probably 3 weeks. But the Carlton Footy Club, Jim, has offered him a deal which is ballpark figures. We'll get him to earning $400,000 with certain performance incentives to getting to that figure. He has said no to that, and the club has subsequently said, well, there's no more coming. Get your head around
that. What's the average wage these days?
It's up to about $400,000 now.
So they're just saying that's where they seem.
But somehow he's
pretty important to him.
By not doing much different, has become a mixture of Duck and Bristle. Levi?
What do you mean?
In the marketplace. Well, a Coleman medalist and a Hall of Fame centre forward.
Oh, boy.
This can happen sometimes with blokes.
Now I'm being compared to Levi.
No, what I'm saying is he...
Oh, boy.
His status has been elevated. I'm not saying you,
I get what you're saying, Jim.
What I'm saying is his status has been elevated by really not doing it.
BT's blood up again.
So that's a compliment to you, Brian, not to him.
I'm still chewing through that.
The next billion seconds are the most important in human history as technology transforms the way we live and work. The smartphone, barely a decade old, has given billions access to information and capacities they've never had before. It's changing what we can do, and it's changing the shape of the future. So what does that future look like? Hi, I'm Mark Pesce, the host of The Next Billion Seconds, a new show on Podcast One. Join me as I speak to some of the brightest minds shaping that world, the people who are spending their lives forming that future. We'll hear about their work in helping shape those next billion seconds. Listen at podcastone.com.au or on the Podcast One app.
We've got the All-Star Game coming up, Bristol. The EJ Witten Legends Game, of course, during the break, something you've been a part of for as long as it's been an amazing thing. Victoria take on the All-Stars. And I look at a couple of these teams here, Brian. Firstly, very nice of Duck to be coaching one of the teams and Tim Watson coach of the other. What's Spud doing? Has he got any involvement?
I think they've been trying to ease him out.
And so they're the two, but the captains interest me as well because I look, the Big V, you've got Big John O'Brown, who is just a massive presence. This is a three-time premiership centre-half forward.
Lost half his body weight, though.
Legendary captain of the Brisbane Lions and, of course, all the most courageous awards and all the things that he did.
Looks meek and mild now.
But then I look across the other side and I don't see their captain anywhere near in the same way.
JB, I addressed this at a press conference last night.
What'd you say?
It wasn't my decision coach to make him skipper. They went above me. And I wasn't totally happy with it, given his opponent. His opponent's going to be Big Monkey. I'm not sure the Big Duke can take him on. So I'm going to send him down to Puckle Street to get a jar of confidence. And then I want him to come back and attack the Big Monkey. There's going to be ships in the night.
I'm not sure he can get out of his own shadow.
Well, that's what I mean. It's going to be ships in the night. Yeah. It's going to be.
You've got your hands full getting people up and about. I mean, Troy Luff. Luffy, just not really there.
Well, Sam Fisher, you've got some good first uppers. Sam Fisher will be a very good player.
Yes, he will be.
Adam Cooney,
first game. Yep.
Yeah, he'll do a very nice
Brian
job.
Brian Lake, the other one that's first game. He's a debutant.
Yep, he'll play nice football.
He'll be good for the morale.
Nicky Dowell over the other side for the Big V. Jimmy Bartel. These are the players who are just out of the game.
But Silk.
Speaking of players just out of the game, this man actually not still out of the game because still playing the game at an amazing level. I speak of the superstar, the all-time games record holder for the Kangaroos, little Brent Boomer Harvey joins us on the line. Little Boom Boom.
G'day, boys. How are we going?
Oh, now, this is just taking candy from a baby for you. I look down these two teams. There's not anyone that'll be able to get anywhere near you.
Well, I've got to be a little bit careful, JB, because I actually play footy the next day in our first final. So I might just sneak on for a couple of minutes each quarter, I think. But I might go look after the body for the next day as well.
So, Boomer, I'm actually thinking maybe sending Martin Pike to you just at the start of the... Just as a bit of a heart. I'm not sure that he'll be able to keep up with you, so don't be too concerned about him. My second choice is a man that didn't sort of man up a lot, Peter Bell, obviously an ex-teammate of yours and ours. So he's another one that I might send you. Or even maybe Simon Black, just to go head-to-head in the middle of the ground. So they're the three options I've got for you. So just prepare yourself for those three.
Oh, well, as long as it's not Pikey, I don't mind the two others. they can keep up with me. Pikey might not be able to keep up, but he'll punch the crap out of me. So I reckon, leave Pikey out of it, please.
How has the body been, Boom? You've been playing very nice football remind us the league.
Yeah, just playing in the Northern Footy League.
Northern Footy League.
With my brother plays there now, and my old man played about 1,000 games there as well. So just come back to the family club and have a year there. We're going okay, sitting on top of the ladder, a couple of games clear.
And your body?
Been out the last couple of weeks. I actually broke my wrist a couple of weeks ago, so just a really small fracture. So I'll be ready to go, get myself right, mate, for the Legends game.
How many goals between you and your brother this year?
Shane's kicked 83.
83 already.
Yeah. Well, he broke his foot too, Duck. He broke his foot and missed four games against the four bottom teams. So he probably should have had 100 by now.
Yeah.
He kicked 17 the other week and then followed up with a 13. So he had 30 in two games. Wow. I'm a fair bit behind. I think I've just kicked 40, about 45 or something like that. But I'm through the midfield. I'm just passing the ball. He's a good player. You probably remember him from the Kangas with the skill he had. Just probably the work rate wasn't there, but he's gone back and kicked a lot of goals at local level.
He actually played in a game against my nephew in the EDFL. Kate kicked 10. And he kicked a bag as well.
Kicked 30 in two games, of course. That doesn't get near my record, Duck. Oh. 50 in two games.
Really?
Well, I did.
50 in two games.
Anyone ever asked me? Mandra?
50 in two games.
Yeah, 25 a game.
Average
25.
Was this, what year was
don't
this?
Don't worry about it, no. What year was this? The Legends game. Oh.
Hey, Brent, it's a fine line between wanting to get lots of kicks in this EJ Witten game and also not taking yourself too seriously. So, which way are you wired, Brent?
Yes, I've been watching the last couple of years, and anyone that takes it half serious, they bag the absolute crap out of them. And anyone that doesn't get a kick, they bag the absolute crap out of them. So there is a happy medium. I think it's about 15 possessions and a goal, and not try to run the whole length of the ground. So I'll put myself somewhere right in the middle, I think.
Well, all I know is this. I'm not as involved in it as I used to be, but when Bristol and I used to call the game, we used to, boom, boom, keep a very close eye on who was taking it too seriously. Richie Vandenberg, for instance, 3 years in a row.
He used to pop up all the time, didn't it?
He ran foul of us, Bristol,
Richie,
because he got very concerned about getting too much pill.
Yeah, until all the citrus growers from up his way in Mildura started to ring us.
Which I'll tell you what, I'm looking through the Victorian squad here. I haven't had a good look at their squad because I focused on my own. But they reckon Tim Watson was saying that Daniel Harford, they've sent his shorts back to China to try. Find enough material for his backside.
Well,
I do a bit of work with Harf. He actually looks all right. I thought he looked all right the other day when I said he actually wore tights into the radio. And I thought, this is interesting.
But, did he have shorts over the top?
No, he did have shorts. And I think he was going straight to the gym. His excuse was.
Is it true, Duck, that you're, as your pre-match build-up, as the coach, you're going to refer to some highlights? Look at the screen style thing in the coach's room, and it's going to be it's a montage of your stuff. is that true?
Well, I sort of figured if they can sort of get half as good, we'll win.
it was an interesting debate, boys. I was listening to the radio before. Levi Cusbolt compared to Wayne Brian Taylor. That's interesting, JB.
What I was saying, Boom, is that he's done not a lot different, but now people are starting to compare him to these two. That's how important he is in the trade market. Would that surprise you as a former teammate of Ducks if he put vision of himself up, Boom?
I think he'd have a fair highlights package, wouldn't he? So it might motivate a few blokes.
None of the hacks can do that stuff.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And I also was listening before as well about the Toby Green thing. I think that's an interesting debate at the minute too. And
what do you think, Boomer? Because a lot of players tweeted in last night. Scott Pendlebury, the captain of Collingwood, tweeted in and thought that no case to answer. He thought it was okay. A lot of the feedback on social media today saying the same thing.
Yeah, and I totally agree. I think you said that you have to put your foot up to protect yourself, and there's no rule against protecting yourself in any contest, whether it's a foot, a knee, or just launching at the football. So I totally agree with you, boys. I don't think he should be suspended for that. Will they look at it? Yes, because it got him too high. He left with the blood rule. But I think at best it's a fine. But I honestly don't even think it's a fine, to be honest with you.
Well said, Boomer. Well said. Summed it up beautifully.
All right, little Boom. We got Dimmer Hardwick coming up next, so we better let you go and get to him. Sorry, Damo.
No, just have a look at this photo, Jim. It's right up your alley. Wayne Carey did do a very funny press conference last night on Channel 7 for this game, but he was wearing a very tight polo shirt.
He was issued, first of all, specific instructions were given to the organisers of the EJ Witten Legends game that when Wayne would do his press conference that he wanted a medium-sized
real tight on the cannons.
So when we rolled up at the press conference yesterday,
which was good TV,
and a large size shirt was presented to them,
loose,
he went ballistic.
And Boom.
And what did he do, BT?
Boom. I can tell you this. He's then got some packing tape and four bits of it across his back to tighten the shirt right up around the guns and around the chest area.
It's all entertainment, Boomer. All in it.
Sounds like a bit of fun, boys. I'm looking forward to it all.
Yeah.
All right, Boone. Good luck. We can't wait to see you going around.
No worries, boys. Enjoy the day.
Nath Brown to join us shortly. In fact, he might even be here now. Hello, Nath.
G'day, Jim. Good to be here.
See you. Former Richmond star, of course. You'd be interested in seeing how your old boys go today. Not a great record against the Cats, but you might be getting them at exactly the right time.
Yeah, I think when you take your best player out, or your second best player out in Selwood, and then you've got Duncan out as well and Tommy Hawkins, I just don't think they've got a cattle to get the job done today. Richmond are going really well, and they can win no matter who's out there at the moment. If they take Rewalt, they take Cochin out of there, they still win. So they are going okay, Duncan.
Flying.
GWS have got a big run home too, and they are one game advance of Richmond as we speak, but were Richmond to win today, they would join them on 56 points. Slightly less percentage purple, but I'm pretty confident Richmond have a nicer look at their last 2 weeks, am I right?
Yeah, let's have a look.
Bristol, you've got your thing there.
Starting to look good though, the Giants.
Who do Richmond play in their final two games? Fremantle and St Kilda. So they would back themselves to win both of those were they to get over Geelong today. So they may just sneak into the top two. And if they do, it's a first final at the MCG, and that is massive
and
for
then,
the Richmond footy
club. Guaranteed second one at the MCG, whether it be win or lose that first one in that situation. So
effectively, they are playing for second spot.
Today, effectively.
A spot in the top two.
Yep. So it is a huge day for the Richmond footy club. Same as Wayne pointed out, though, Brownie, for the Cats. I know they're depleted, but they are at home. They were poor last week. You'd expect them to respond.
Yeah, the main thing the Cats want to do, and obviously it's a hard task to make finals at the moment, is win their games here and make top four to get that double chance. I don't think they're going to do that today. And if Richmond get a home final and finish second, I mean, then the Tiger Army can start to get really excited because going to Adelaide in the first week, I don't think anybody is going to win in Adelaide in that first week, or going up to Sydney, I don't think anyone will win there. But playing at the MCG, I tell you what, how big would that be?
Well, we will see what happens. Damien Hardwick going to join us shortly. Jager O'Meara, just get through some news before we get Dimmer on the line.
Hasn't played any form of footy since round six, Jim. As we know, he's had constant problems that are directly / indirectly related to the problems he had at the Gold Coast Suns. He missed all of 2015 and 16. Coming back through the VFL, and the plan around that is for him to play the remaining home and away games and then push into the finals to get at least 4 to 6 games into his system before the preseason for 2018. So, yeah, it's a real positive, but obviously needs to get through the games.
All right, let's get to the coach of the Richmond Footy Club who's been good enough to join us pre-game. The Tigers take on the Cats. Damien Hardwick's on the line. Dimmer, welcome to you. Good luck today.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's all about getting yourself assembled, to use the racing parlance, to get yourself assembled at the clock tower in a good running position, and then if you're good enough, you get home, and you've done exactly that. You must be really thrilled.
Yeah, we are. We've played some reasonable football, but we've got a big challenge here today. It's quite blustery, the conditions. We're still trying to figure out which end the wind is favouring. We're undecided, but look, it's going to be a big challenge. Hostile environment. They play very well here, obviously, so we do look forward to it, though.
So what sort of mention do you give the climatic conditions here, Dimmer, given that it is a very strong wind? You know, everyone knows it's a narrow ground, but what have you said to your players about that?
Yeah, we probably haven't said too much yet. We've had generally at our main meeting, but we'll wait till they come out and they have a better idea of the conditions after their kick around. Then we'll make a few plans in place with regard to kickouts and zones and all those sort of things. So at this stage, we'll just see how it goes. The players are pretty good these days at understanding the conditions and what they are. What they'll present, so we'll leave the most of it up to them and how they play.
Hey, Dimmer, what do you do with Caddy today? He was absolutely sensational last week, playing the Jack Rewalt role last week. Absolutely brilliant.
He was very good. He'll play a similar role this week a little bit. The great thing I love about Josh is his flexibility. You know, he can play deep forward, can play across the half-forward line, also put himself in the midfield. So he's got a little bit of a licence to do that, put himself in a position where he can play his best footy. And a lot of our guys do that now, which is the great thing about the flexibility of our side. You know, we don't necessarily need Dustin or Trent through the middle of the ground, you know, at great length. And that's one of the benefits of having players such as Dion and Josh come into our system.
And Damien, just on that, now that you've got through the two games that you had to play without Jack Rewalt in the goal kicking position there, did it surprise you how easily you were able to deal with the Gold Coast and Hawthorn?
I wouldn't say deal with, but we were excited by the fact that we did get other avenues to goal. It is, you know, going forward, it is something that we can look at, you know, how we can get probably Jack a little bit more like the roughhead role, really, through the middle at various stages and see how those smaller guys go, because It is really hard when you're a big bloke and you're chasing the likes of, you know, Butler, Castagno, Edwards and Rioli. You know, if the ball's on the ground, you're sort of just lining back up at the centre bounce. So it's it's something we certainly looked at and we did enjoy last couple of weeks.
And so in that weird way that footy sometimes works, have you actually got a gain out of him being absent for that fortnight as a result of being able to perform without him?
Oh, we did, there's no doubt, but we're certainly happy to have him back. Yeah. In fairness, the same thing will happen with Geelong today. You know, as a coach, we love predictability, and Tom Hawkins, you know, in the side, is that predictability we're after, but it's going to be a different look up there today. You know, does Harry play forward? Do they go smaller with just Menzel down there? These are the sort of things that will be answered pretty quickly, pretty early, so it's going to be a challenge for us also.
Talking about going to different players and different roles in the team, I know Rance is your best defender. He's the best defender in the comp. But Dylan Grimes, anytime he goes, so I spoke to a few small and medium-sized forwards not that long ago who say he's the hardest player they've played on so far this year because he just does not give you an inch.
Yeah, he's had a terrific season. He's been a great player for us. He probably hasn't had the consistency this year through his ability to get on the park. You know, he hasn't missed a game at this stage. And his work rate, his ability to close down with his speed is incredible. He's been a great success for us, success story for us, and you know, he's certainly put in a lot of hard work to get where he is today.
Hey, Dimmer, what do you do with expectation? I loved the Western Bulldogs last year and Luke Beveridge just saying, look, bugger it, we're going to embrace this. It's a great ride. We're going to pile into the finals and see where this sort of journey takes us. The Richmond Footy Club, there's this great expectation building. What are you as the main man down there doing with that?
Yeah, it's a little bit the same. You know, it is what it is, and we're enjoying the ride at the moment. And we just really worry about the process. And we know we've got a template of footy that works. And if we continue to invest in that, it's going to keep us in good stead. And whatever expectation and momentum comes from that, we're happy to ride. We don't want to, you know, hide from it. We know it's there. We're Richmond. We're a big footy club. And we're just prepared to enjoy it as much as we can because you know, you only got a limited amount of footy games in you. And, you know, the more you can enjoy the game, the better for mine.
Hey, Brandon Ellis is the other one that's having a terrific year, Dimmer. Actually, when you look through your whole squad, whole team, arguably every player on your team, on your list, is having career best years. It's quite amazing.
Yeah, it is. Brandon's been another great success story for us. You know, we challenged him at the end of the off season to go down back and redefine himself and recapture the good form. And you know, I wouldn't say his harshest critic, but I did demand a lot more. He came in at such a high level, and generally those guys when they do, their level of improvement is incremental as compared to those big jumps. I mean, probably the level of expectation we probably put on him was too high, but he's had a fantastic year and really pleased for him with the work he's put in.
Hey, Dimmer, thanks very much. You're always great with your time with Triple M. We love that. Good luck today and with everything coming up.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
And Duck, you mentioned career best years, and when sides have a lot of players with career best years, what do they do?
Well, they make grand finals.
Yep. It's like the Cats in 07, Brian.
Like West Coast 3 years ago.
Yep, we'll go through them at some stage, but
I might do it next, Bristol. And Bristol, you just talked about prior to the break, the fact that one of the things Damien Hardwick's been able to do, and it's a sign of a coach in very good form, is get his players playing their career best form.
Yeah, everyone a little rise this year, so I don't know whether you quickly want to go through the 22 that are playing today, and we'll just, Duck, maybe we'll give you the last say on all of this.
Yep.
And it's just whether the arrow's going up or whether it's down or whether it's the same. So, Floston, do you think...
Up.
He's only played 10 games. Up. Yep.
Up.
Grimes.
Up.
Prestia.
Oh, well, that first year at the club.
Okay, so stay steady.
Yep.
Dustin Martin.
Up.
Ellis, that's
up.
Brandon.
Up.
Grigg.
I reckon he's had a good year. Up.
Yeah. Riewoldt.
Probably down, believe it or not.
Riewoldt.
Okay. Probably. He hasn't certainly been career best.
Cotchin, where's he going?
Probably line.
No, I reckon he's going up because line he's ball. Doing. He's getting better quality possession. He's not out the
he's
back
won
door.
He's a Brownlow.
He's Brownlow year probably
yep.
better.
Yep. Edwards.
Edwards is probably up.
Asprey.
Up.
Hooley.
Line ball.
Rioli.
Up.
Rance.
Oh, well, he's brilliant every year.
But he's still up,
yeah.
I reckon.
Caddy.
Caddy. Lambert.
Up.
Nan Curvis.
Definitely up.
Corey Ellis.
Yeah.
McIntosh is
line
up.
Line ball. McIntosh probably up.
Broad. Butler up.
Yes.
Castagna up.
Up. Yep.
So there you go.
A lot of ups.
A lot of ups.
A lot of ups.
A lot of ups.
Yep. And when you get a lot of ups, and that means everyone's absolutely committed to the task, you're going to get.
And they play the MCG so well too, Brian.
Well, we
I mean, it's a big advantage if they play a final or particularly a grand final there.
So, Nath, let me ask you this. We were just talking about this off air. Somewhere on one of the shows or, you know, there's so many of them during the week, it was pointed out that Richmond have only beaten three top eight sides for the year Their draw has got a lot to do with that because they finished, what were they, 13th last year or 12th or whatever. So they were given a much more comfortable draw than if you finish in the top eight.
Yep.
But does that bother you at all, Nath, as a former Tiger?
Not so much because I think all those games were in the first half of the year. And you talk of they played Sydney and they were 32 points up or something. So 36 points up and they got rolled. So they were good enough to be in front. Adelaide, just before halftime, they were up against Adelaide. GWS, they were up with 10 seconds to go before that kick out, that goal. So those are the three best teams in the comp right now, and they've been with them right to the death. So I think that if the way they're playing now, the confidence they have, if they faced off those teams again, I think they'd do a better job.
Righto, let's get to... We had an amazing week with you last week, Nath, where you basically said if you're a modern player playing against the 18 clubs, who would you target verbally and what with? And
gruesome leagues, didn't it?
The response was quite extraordinary. Have you spoken to Bob Murphy, by the way?
No, I haven't. Jim hasn't offered, and I didn't offer an olive branch out either. So I thought if I did offer something, he would have just thought I was doing a Terry Wallace cover off as he did back in the coaching days. So I didn't roll with it, and he hasn't rolled back with me.
And you think if you had have sent him a message, would he
he would have ignored it because, and made me fret?
Yeah,
yeah.
So when do you expect any contact to be made?
Probably after the footy season at this stage. I'd probably expect a clip from his wife more than him.
Right. What did you say about him, Brownie?
No matter how many times he looks at the photo of him on the dais, he's not a premiership player, Brian.
Well, it's an interesting thing. Have we seen a photo of the premiership captain and coach with the trophy yet?
I'm not sure, Bruce.
I don't think we have.
But it's certainly of all the sledges, and there were lots of very good ones, it was the one that caught the sort of public imagination.
And that was the one that people got angry about. But they probably should know that we're in each other's wedding parties and we do this sort of thing all the time.
Exactly right. Yeah. So where
Sam Butler, Jim, before you move on, Sam Butler blew up during the week on WA radio.
Did he?
Yes. Yes.
Didn't take too kindly to it?
No.
Well, this is what we do at Triple M. We go after ourselves harder than we ever go after anyone else, which is the thing that really annoys other people because we actually take all the wind out of their sails. They're like, geez, I'm going to pump some bullets into this bloke. And then when we do it to ourselves, they go, but I sort of can't anymore. Sucked in. Anyway, go, Nath.
Well, I've had a look at everyone in this box, but I'll get to Darce and Juddy first from the Friday night team.
Yes.
And just the man with the head in his vice, I'd roll up to him and just remind him that he hangs on the coattails of all these co-hosts. He's got Eddie Maguire next to him. He's always the second man. He's got Brian now muscling in on talking footy. And just like Collingwood lost those eight grand finals in a row, he just seems to always find someone better.
Jeez.
Juddy, I haven't seen a man feel as small compared to his wife's fame than Juddy at the moment. It seems like he's overcompensating with Judge Juddy. So remind the whole world that he is Chris Judd and not Chris Twigley.
Right, keep going.
You've got to laugh at Brian too. He hasn't laughed for a week.
Well, when I was driving down, I was worried about just rolling this stuff out with the mood that was here in between 12 and 12.07 when I was driving down. But
Nothing's changed.
I'll head on to Jim Brayshaw. Hutchie blamed his weight and his appearance for getting the arse. What's your excuse?
I just was sore-shouldered in the end.
And the duck. What can be said about the duck that doesn't roll off his back? Everything's been said about you, Duck, but I'd roll out to you on the ground and say, it's all about you, Duck. If your life's one big duck fest, Jerry Seinfeld was in Melbourne last week. Some people are genuinely funny. You're not. Damo.
Then I'd kick five.
Yeah, the makeup girls at Channel 9 told me they use more makeup on you than anybody. To make you look more human than anybody else. I hear that truck they backed up the other night with Billy and Crawf had your makeup in it.
Thanks, Brownie.
And Brian, I thought I'd leave you to last.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Careful. After last weekend and what came out, I know now why Lee Matthews dropped you for the grand final.
Oh, no. Bristle.
Lettuce leaf stuff.
Oh, boy. Iron guts.
This is what we do, Purple. That's why I am enamoured with the Triple M style.
He hasn't looked at me yet.
You created the Triple M style, Jim.
I like it. It's all no holds barred from within as well as from without.
It's awkward sometimes. It creates awkwardness.
Well, we used to be able to do 360-degree reviewing of ourselves.
They were very awkward days. Well,
they were very awkward until Spud just couldn't cope with it anymore, so we had to stop.
We didn't talk for an hour after that.
We used to...
Weeks sometimes.
Spud would prepare for the 360 review. He would prepare for a month, and then he'd get to the day to do it, and he wouldn't have the minerals to go with any of the stuff he'd prepared.
And then have the air taken out of him with That's what everyone else was saying about him and couldn't talk anyway.
He'd just sit there saying nothing.
And then just butcher it when he did.
That's it, for 15 minutes. So we did actually, in the end, have to give that one the arse. Now, the other things we need to discuss, before we finish with you and news, is there anything else we need to get done with you, Purple, before we get to full preview mode here with the Cats and Richmond?
No, just the Mark Evans timeline on when he implements this process around which he'll find a new coach, because they've got the market to themselves, Jim, and yep. I think he feels it's going to stay that way. And again, that's up for him to say that. But he's in no mad rush. And he's also aware, too, that some of these candidates will be involved in finals. And he's going to respect the process that he had a little bit to do with himself when he was at the AFL. So that will be, yes, you can make contact with assistant coaches who are in finals teams, but don't go through the absolute exhaustive stages of it until they are free.
And, Nath, what about your own level of physical preparation for today? Like the rest of us, you had to take the stairs because... staggeringly in a brand spanking new development, the lifts repeatedly don't work down here. You look like you're about to pass out when you walked in here early.
I wasn't expecting the four lines of stairs coming up, and I didn't realise how unfit I was. I mean, it's very easy to say, like thin and eat the right food, but when it comes to physical exertion, it's hard work, Duck.
Well, yeah, it's all right to look good, but you mightn't sort of feel good.
Yeah. Remember Trent Crowe? Look good, feel good, play good.
How is it?
That's what he used to roll with before he played. Look good, feel good, play good.
How is it, Damo?
Left a few components out.
That the Adelaide Oval's another example of this. They spent $700 million making that an unbelievable joint. And yet in 2015 or 16 or whatever they did it, they put the slowest lift known to man so that when you try and get to the media area from down below, it takes half an hour. This joint, exactly the same. The only difference here is they don't actually work.
I was going to say, at least that lift in Adelaide does work. Yeah, Cookie, look, he's put the hat around over 15 years to get people to constantly throw money in. And when it got to the crunch on this lift, Jimmy clearly... went with the cheap option.
Damo, I was actually in the lift with him on the way up here today.
He gets defensive about it.
And the security guard had to physically try to close the doors, and he's just shaking his head. And there were a couple of people in there. He said, can we actually put another lift? And they said, oh, we don't think we've actually got the room to do it now. So he was seriously embarrassed.
Was he?
Duck, 2017, surely we can advance lift technology, firstly to the point where they work, and secondly, they go quickly.
Well, the other aspect of it, the Friday night game against the Swans recently, they
the
had
one the... that BT missed.
That one, yeah. They actually had the caterers in their gym, and there were open platters of oysters in there with the people who were fixing
festering.
The lift up. Yes, it was... I hope they're okay. Well, maybe that's what BT got.
The new stadium, Bristol, very built in Perth, yeah. That is the challenge for them as the next one.
Lots of mistakes there too, I've heard. It cost them millions.
Really?
I think they've been resurrected, but for instance, they put the wrong glass in, cost them $20 million.
The wrong what?
They put the wrong colour glass in. You know how you can get a green sort of look or a blue look? Apparently, they put the wrong type of glass in. They tried to get the cheaper stuff from China, and that all had to be removed and replaced again once they'd finished it. And there were a few other monumental errors like that along the
way.
They're
using a hybrid
but it's
surface,
be great.
Aren't they, BT? Are you,
I'm not sure. Okay. I don't know about the surface.
Well, they've put the grass down and say it's brilliant. Mind you, they're going to say that. Have the clubs come to an agreement over there yet? Have they got their deal?
West Coast
I don't think they have, no. And they will hold out until they get what's right because they have the knowledge of what happened with Adelaide Oval. It was close to a debacle in that first onset of matches, the way it was set up. But they've fixed it to a point now where it's very manageable, but they just don't want to have to go down that initial problems that those two clubs had with their new stadium.
Had a bit of a look at the Tigers, Bristol, and I know we're going to do a full preview shortly. What is it about the Cats that we sort of don't necessarily buy into? They were a prelim final team last year after winning their first final against Hawthorn, beaten badly in that game by the Swans, by the way, but not prelim final, got deep into the finals last year. And again this year, they're at the sharp end of the comp, and yet, I don't know what it is, but there's something we just don't quite buy into.
Is it a degree of softness about them? Is it something there? Is it the fact that they rely so heavily on their top two or three, you know, yep. Selwood and Dangerfield? Is that the reason? But to me, I just think it is that I haven't seen them play physically aggressive all year. they've got themselves in an incredible spot on the ladder, and they're challenging. But I haven't seen them play a game that I reckon will stand up in finals all year.
BT, I thought that week of three down here where they beat the Bulldogs, Port Adelaide and one other, the 3 weeks in a row earlier in the year, middle of the year, rounds 9, 10, 11, I reckon
it was. Dogs, Port Adelaide and Adelaide.
Yep, that was their best 3 weeks of the year. They were physical. Their pressure was unbelievable, tackling incredibly well because that came off the back of them being quite poor in that area. So they made it a real focus. But I agree with you. I think it's, for me, the doubt is their reliance. And Chris Scott says this a lot, that of course you rely on your good players. I'd argue that Richmond don't rely on anyone. I think Geelong do rely on their stars too much.
Is there an issue with the ruck, BT and Duck, with the way they've just been unable to get some dominance in that part of the ground, despite choosing and trying many players over a number of years? Smith obviously taking the lead today.
Well, if you can't mark the footy, you can't kick goals, you don't get possessions around the ground, I reckon you're useless as a ruckman.
I watched Smith here last weekend. No, this Duck's point is good. I watched Smith. Who were they playing last weekend again, Geelong? They
Sydney.
Played Sydney, and I watched Sinclair, the other ruckman, and I watched them do the 12 ball-ups that were in the middle of the ground in the first quarter, and not once out of the 12 did either ruckman make contact with each other. They were shit scared of each other. There was no contact.
Ships in the night.
There was no ability to sort of jump into a guy and maim him or use it as a stepladder. None of that. And when I saw that, I thought, how is this team in this position? And then you throw in, say, a Reece Stanley, who's of similar ilk.
Yeah, well, he's come into the team today, BT. Do they have to go with Smith and Stanley if they are to do something, as JB proposed, in finals this year?
Well, they need to get physical. They need to get aggressive. They need to make body contact with other ruckmen and other people in the game. They can't run around this absolute theatrics of the centre ball up where they avoid each other so they don't hurt each other is just extraordinary from a team that's in the top four.
This is the point Brian's making, Purple, that even Geelong's own people, when you speak to them, not within the absolute inner sanctum, but, you know, rusted on fans and all the rest of it, even they're not buying. They go, oh, yeah, not sure about us. I'm like, you're in a prelim last year, you're in the top four again this year, you're at the sharpest end of this comp, annually, pretty much, and yet even they don't necessarily believe, which I find astounding. Any other club, I mean, you speak to the Tigers, they think we're winning it.
Well, they're 6 points clear at the moment of the fifth-place team, which normally with three games to go, you'd still be maybe pushing up for second, even first, but not this year. But Duck's gone through a scenario where they could actually lose this game and the two that follow it, and that puts them into the zone where do they even make the eight. But I'm not that drastically looking at them at this stage, but they've had to change their mindset too, Jim, because they initially wanted to get some rest into Motlop and Menzel. Chris Scott was basically saying 3 weeks is what they wanted them to miss. They've only missed the 1 week by way of this rest, and that's been brought upon them because of the Selwood injury and then the suspension to, obviously, Duncan and then the reconfiguration required.
My question
in that
is, why would
Hawkins.
They need 3 weeks rest? What AFL football right now needs 3 weeks rest if they don't have an injury, if they're not... I mean, you can understand an older player, a little bit sore, might get a corky. You might go, let's give him a rest this week because we want him right. 3 weeks seems excessive. I don't understand that at all. I don't even think that's a great plan going into a final series.
I get the feeling with Motlop, you may know something different to me, Purple. I get the feeling with Motlop, they did not want him playing at all. And the only reason he is because they've had this drama with these three players coming into this week. I reckon they almost said, nah, the output we're getting out of you is nowhere near what it needs to be, and we're just going to go in a different direction, and they've had their hand forced. Yeah.
Is it possible, Brownie, that 3 week thing that they were looking for those players, that they were going to perform a mini preseason in that time because they hadn't felt they'd worked hard enough?
Well, they could have, but you're going into the hardest period of any season being finals, and if you're not fit enough now and you need to get a pre-season into them and you're not going to be playing, you're not going to be hitting bodies, I think they miss out on that body contact part.
Brownie,
and let's be honest, those players aren't the hardest players going around. They don't. They need to be playing good football regularly.
My info is, Brownie, that they were trying to get 3 weeks' worth of pre-season work into a 3 week footy season preseason.
They weren't fit enough.
Yes.
Right. Jim, just back to your point about Molopo, I haven't heard that. It wouldn't surprise me totally, but I would be very surprised if he is at the Cats next year.
Well, what does that tell us?
Well, that tells you that there's a mindset issue between player and club.
Haven't they tried to trade him every year, Damo?
Yeah, the difference in previous years or difference to this year where we've got cup coming, BT, in the trade period, he's out of contract now. So it's going to be done this time, whereas the contract previously sort of meant it was too restrictive to do it. Richmond had shown interest more than one occasion in the past.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting what they need to do, Duck, with this list for mine, Geelong. I think they'll have a big crack today, obviously, and they'll play finals. But it's almost at the stage now where if they load up again with such a dependence on Selwood and Dangerfield, you can't see them advancing.
No, it's... Yeah, sorry, Jay.
You know, I mean, Duncan, I think, is a really good player too, obviously. But who's coming through? Who of this younger group are going to start becoming, you know, elite contested winning mids? Who outside of Hawkins is going to become a real power, you know, forward? Who's going to replace Harry Taylor as a magnificent intercept marking key defender? I just don't see it.
Well, it's interesting because if you listen to, you know, people, they're talking about Mackie and Lonergan will be gone next year, BT.
And they've been wonderful service.
So they'll both retire. Oh, yeah, absolute stars. So all of a sudden, you really start
to
struggle.
They've been playing two kids the last couple of weeks, Guthrie being one of them.
That's right.
They just aren't ready to play.
Not ready yet. Yeah, Simpson's the other one. They're just, you're right, that middle tier's always been a concern. It's been a concern for years, but they've been able to maintain, because of those absolute stars at the top level, they've been able to maintain, you know, where they are on the ladder, but can they win a premiership where they're at? Well the answer,
what you'd
the answer is no.
Was Thurlow and guys like Murdoch right now being those players like a Brandon Ellis that's coming through at Richmond, which is the next garb, which is getting 30 touches every week and impacting games. Those are the players that probably haven't come on the way that the Cats have wanted.
So, Damo, here's the question. We had Brian Cook on this station last year. I reckon it was, or it might have even been early last year, saying, we haven't sold the whole farm, but we've only got a couple of paddocks left.
Yep.
So with regard to this list they also have very limited access to the draft.
Mm. And when he made that statement, and he did make that statement on Triple M Footy, you could only have taken in 2017, because as Duck says, with Mackie heading out of the team, Lonergan almost certainly heading out of the team, they're rolling the dice for last year and this year. And again, I'm still...
Harry Taylor's 32 next year, so I don't know how much more footy he's going to play. He's been a great...
I think in a season where we've discussed regularly how open it is, if they can get it together, it starts today, but if they can get it together, I still think they're a live chance. But again, I'm hearing what you're all saying, that they're going to lose this game today, and then I think it's real problems.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks football.